Good morning. Well, let's open our Bibles to Exodus 4, verses 1 through 5. Exodus 4, 1 through 5. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you?' Then the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' 'A staff,' he replied. And the Lord said, 'Throw it on the ground.' Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, 'Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.' So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. 'This,' said the Lord, 'is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we get a chance to come and worship you and just hear your word. Lord, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you come and lead and guide this time. God, may our hearts just be open to hear your word, Lord. May our minds be open to understand, Lord. And we just ask that your spirit guides us in this place. In your name we pray, amen. So the context of Exodus 4 is right after the burning bush. So it's all in the same sequence. And so the burning bush takes place. God tells him to go, he calls him to go back to Egypt to set his people free. And then Moses has this freak out moment of, but who's going to believe me? And so then God gives him this sign. A few weeks back, I was having dinner with a friend, and they started sharing this story that they had heard from a pastor. So she was having dinner with this pastor, and the pastor was kind of going into depths about this on the meaning behind this story. And it was something actually I'd never heard before. But it's actually really stuck with me the past few weeks. And so it also, it goes into the explanation of what a rod and a staff would have been like in biblical days and the meaning behind it. Now, because I'd never heard it before, I decided to do a little quick research. And it actually is there. So it is possible that what he was saying is true to Moses' staff as well. But there's no actual, like I couldn't find anyone that said specifically, yes, Moses, because it's not directed in the Bible. But it actually would have been very cultural, and I'm going to explain to you what this was. So one of the articles I read says this about a staff. In Bible times, shepherds had a unique way of displaying their testimony. As part of the passage of manhood, each young shepherd was given his own staff. He used that staff not only to shepherd sheep, but it also to chronicle the victories of his life. It became a symbol of his testimony carried in his hand. Beginning at the bottom of the staff, the shepherd made carvings to remind him of pivotal moments in his life. Shepherds are by nature nomadic, moving from place to place in search of pasture land. For amusement, they passed the time at night telling stories around the fire. Their staffs became a central point for their conversations. Pointing to a particular carving on another staff, the staff's owner would be asked to tell the story to which it related. Over and over, the shepherds rehearsed their struggles and victories. Although always traveling and with surroundings always changing, one's testimony remained constant as a stabilizing force in a nomadic life. Not only did it provide fodder for our storytelling, but it also serves much more meaning and purpose. Another article talked about how the staff was symbolic of their calling. It was symbolic of the choice in life they were making. But mainly, in essence, the staff was what we would consider maybe our journal, our list of accomplishments, our resume, the things that look good about who we are. And so my friend and I continued talking, and she went on to explain how the pastor said that for Moses, most likely, he would have done the same for his staff. Actually, the pastor was very confident Moses would have had marks on his staff just like most shepherds during that time. He would have marked up his victories, his accomplishments, and it would have been his life story. Each dash symbolically describing his journey as a shepherd, and even potentially when he was a prince, when he was living in the house of the Pharaoh. He may have gone back to add markings. And even if he didn't mark his staff, it still would have been a representation of him being a shepherd. It also would have been his weapon, his tool of defense. It would have been what would have protected him. And so when you look back at Exodus 4, you see a few key things. Remember, I said earlier, this is in the context of the burning bush. Moses having a conversation with God and God giving him a sign. Now, you would have thought that the burning bush would have been enough sign to him to walk in confidence that this is actually from God and to be bold enough, right? But I wonder how many times have we've had signs in our life and we bring it to the church or our Christian friends and they think we're crazy. I'm not even talking about non-believers. And sometimes I think non-believers may actually believe our signs a little bit more, or at least they're like, well, they're Christian, right? But when you come and you're like, I had this experience and God spoke to me, and people are like, I'm not sure, right? And so even we today, we can understand the apprehension to wanting to share a sign that God has given us, especially if it was to the level of a burning bush. Now, apparently the burning bush still exists in Egypt. I highly doubt it's the same bush. But if you go to Mount Sinai, they have a chapel and they'll be like, that's the burning bush. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, there's no way to know for sure. I think 90%+ positive it isn't. But this bush, it's something that we all know and believe. That to us is the sign. But to God, the sign for his people was going to be the staff. Now, comes this time where he's given this rod and the staff, and God says, throw it down. Put the staff down. Now, we could be reading a little too much into this, but the pastor went on to make this moment a very significant time. And he said, at that moment, when Moses lays down his staff, he's actually laying down his life. He's surrendering himself. He is putting down the calling of being a shepherd, because this is what shepherds did. And so when God says, put down your staff, Moses most likely understood that God is saying, surrender your defense. Surrender what protects you. Right? And what is God's sign to him? He turns the staff into a snake. Now, that staff would have been something that would have protected him from snakes. That staff is what he would have grabbed and had in his hand to beat off a snake if it was attacking him, his sheep, his people. He would have used it in a defense against robbers. He would have used it hiking up mountains. You name it, that staff would have been important. And what God does is he turns this staff into a snake, which could have killed him. And Moses runs away. Right? He hides. I'm sure all of us would have done that as well. And then God says, pick up the staff. By picking up the staff, he had no defense except for God. When he reaches down to pick up the staff, his only defense, the only protection he has, is no longer what he thought, no longer his own abilities, but God himself. And God, as soon as he touches, he says, pick it up by the tail. Which actually, if you know anything about snake handling, which my knowledge is incredibly limited, you would never grab a snake by its tail because it can come back and bite you. Right? It's not logical. But God does the most illogical way of doing something. He says, grab the tail. And as soon as he does it, as soon as he trusts God, it turns back into a staff. I believe it was John Piper. I'm not 100% sure. As I was reading through different things, I made a note of it, but I forgot to make a note of who it was. And I think it was John Piper who says that actually the staff, we often don't realize what a central character it is throughout biblical history, especially Moses' staff. It is a main character in Exodus and through the wilderness story. We see that God instructs Moses to raise his staff, to stretch out his hand, and the Red Sea parted. In Exodus 7, God told him to strike the rock with his staff for water to come out. Later in that same chapter, as Moses says, I'm going to hold the staff in my hand and go up to the top of the mountain, and as long as my hands stay up, we will win this battle. If my hands go down, right, when the hands went down, then the Israelites started losing the battle to the Amalekites. And so we see the staff once again is central into this story. In Numbers 20, God tells Moses to speak to the rock, but Moses strikes it with his rod. And that is the defining moment of when Moses no longer could enter into the promised land. Now, the word staff comes from the Hebrew word matai, M-A-T-T-E-H, and it's actually mentioned 250 times in the Old Testament. The word actually equates, has the same meaning, to spiritual power. So when you look at the word staff and you figure out what it means in Hebrew, it means spiritual power. When Moses lays it down, God marks a moment in time when Moses' life has changed. He now will have power through God. And could say that we often, too often, rely on our own strength. But the power was never in the staff. It was always God. See, in Numbers 20, when Moses uses the rod, he's taking things into his own hand. It almost had become to a point where that rod was the power and not God. He disobeyed God's order. He thought, the last time I did this, it was this rod that made the water come out of the rock. So I'm going to follow through and do the same thing. In some ways, the rod became an idol. Now, let's think about how we can put this into our own lives. How does this reflect us? We don't carry around rods, and most of us, okay, I shouldn't say most of us, but my assumption is most of us don't journal. I don't journal. My resume is not that up to date. So what is it that we need to lay down? You know, it's that act of surrendering that Moses did and waiting until God, it was a very short period of time, until God told him to pick it up. In Romans 12, it says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service to worship. In this context, sacrifice is anything consecrated and offered to God. And God is telling us to lay down our life. We are called to lay down our own lives, our gifts, talents, and callings before the Lord. And there's something incredibly powerful when we are willing to do this, not when we're forced. You know, Peace Sam often will say, it's better for you to humble yourself than to be humbled by God, right? It's a lot more strong. It's a lot more hard, difficult in our life when the humbling comes from God most often. But when we humble ourselves and we lay down our life and we're willing to give up everything, our desires, our talents, our skill sets, our spiritual gifts, when we're willing to lay it all down and put it before God and say, your will, not mine. And then he tells us to pick it up in his timing. There's spiritual power that comes with it. And Romans 12, actually goes on to talk about being part of the body. It talks about serving. Right, that comes after. But before you get to serving, before you get to being in the sequence of Romans 12, you get to the point of talking about being part of the body. And even though you are already part of the body, God instructs us to lay our lives down. And to him, that is true worship. You know, I was reading, I started seminary this week, and I was reading through, I can't remember which book anymore. It's either Amos, one of them, one of the prophets, and talking about worship and how you can be singing praises to God and yet he doesn't even hear it. Because we often get too confused that worship is just words that we sing. But worship is our entire life. Everything that we do is worship. And so when your life outside of this room is not worship unto God, we are cautioned by the prophets that it's actually God not even hearing it. When we become hypocritical, when we become so focused on ourselves, our selfishness, our own desires, the blessings that God has given us, and we think that's good enough without the obedience, without the following, we're not truly worshiping God. And so when we link Moses to ourselves, and I know it could be a little bit of a stretch to use this illustration, but laying down our lives before God brings spiritual power. But that should never become the reason why we do it. That rod in many ways became the focal point, and they thought and they believed that is the power. That's where the power comes from. And they forgot that the power comes from God. We can get so trapped in that, look at, I'm part of God's kingdom, and look at all the, and it's the blessings. I get to have all these blessings, and we focus on the blessings instead of the one who gave us the blessings, instead of the one who provided it. And we can be like, look, I have this big house, praise God. But really in your heart, it's, look what I've done. Look at my talents. Look at my, I work hard for this. And in the end, we're actually not even giving anything to the poor. You know, Amos, the book of Amos is continually talking about social justice issues and how Israel had this wealthy group of people and how they mistreated and abused the poor. You know, and we, I think oftentimes by not doing anything, we are abusing the poor. We're not laying down our own desires and our own will to follow God's. And as I was meditating on this scripture this week, God brought me to one more time in the Bible where he talks about a staff. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I really felt like God was telling me specifically, the rod represents a life. And in this case, it's God's protection. It's God's life, and it's God's character that keeps us safe. It's his power, his will that keeps us safe. You could almost, the way I felt like God was trying to speak to me specifically this week, not to go change the Bible itself, but he says, you could almost read this, Mary, like this. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes, fear no evil, for you are with me. For I am with you. I, my life, who I am, God, Yahweh, that's your comfort. And so let's take a moment. And let's think about this for a second. Jesus laid down his life, everything, to give us life. He gave down everything. And he waited until the right moment to pick it up again. Jesus laid down his life and he waited to pick it up again to the right moment that would bring so much power and glory to God. And it's that that sets us free. And so today, I want us just to go into a moment of reflecting on ourselves. What is it in our life that we need to lay down before God? And it's not necessarily bad things. It could be incredibly good things. But we may have forgotten it was God who gave it to us. To put it down and say, God, I'm going to leave it down until you tell me to pick it up again. And that may be forever. And it could be for an hour. And allow God to start working in you to allow his spiritual power to come into play. So as Sam comes up to lead worship, let's just reflect on that. Thank you. Take a moment before we start praying just to give thanks to God for all that he has done. Let's just call out to him and just say thank you to him for the things he has done in our lives, to give him the glory, to give him the glory and the praise for who he is, for who he has always been. Let's turn to our community focus and let's pray for those in our church who are battling cancer, going through chemo and radiation therapy and surgeries. Let's lift up those in the community who, family and friends who have various illnesses, but also have yet to meet Jesus. Let's pray for him to just, for their hearts to be open to the saving power of God. Pray for those who are suffering from other various infirmities. Pray for those who are searching for jobs. Let's just pray that in this waiting time they have peace. And let's just pray that God will really just bring them to the place that he has prepared for them and that they will just walk in obedience in this time. Let's turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan and Peace Sophia. Let's also lift up Cambodia, Grace, Oasis House with under PGNEO. Let's just pray that God will just be lifted up. And let's just pray that they will, each of these women will just really find rest in God and they will just be find their strength in him. Pray for our mission council. Let's just pray for just such wisdom and discernment as they pray and discuss our different partnerships. And let's just pray that God will just use them to be great representation for us in this community and the world. Let's just pray that we will be a church that is mission focused. Pray for our local outreach teams. Let's pray for Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's just really pray that the people in this city will be touched by God and that they will know him and they will just feel his tangible love. Let's lift up our SP Fam ministry, our fostering and adoption ministry under Cadence. And actually, if we can just lift up Cadence and Jackie specifically, because They just took in a little girl, a little baby for the next several months. So let's just pray for their family and just every other family in our church who has taken, are taking in children, and for this, that the kids will just know God in this time period and they'll feel loved, and that, yeah, that God will just really be with these families who are taking in these kids and being their temporary families till they can go back to their forever families. Let's lift up our Friday evening gatherings, IP, SPU, and SP Youth. Let's just pray for just covering for their time. Let's just pray for the Spirit to guide them, and that people's hearts and ears and minds will just be open to what God is doing. Finally, let's lift up our SPLI class, Hearing God. Let's just pray. I believe this is their last class. Let's just pray that God will really open the adults, the people who are there, to hear God's voice, to hear Him. And let's just pray for covering over that class. So God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are a protector, that you are a guide, Lord, that you lead us and you direct us, God, and that you you love us. God, Lord, help us to lay down our lives that we can be living sacrifices, God, that we can really wholly give up ourselves before you, God, and wait on you for your direction and your calling. God, may you build up our trust in you. Today, this weekend in our life, God, may we, hear your voice. So, Lord, I just ask that you'll just, you bless each and every one of us with your presence today, that we go, wherever you go, God, you've already gone before, Lord, and that you are with us. So, Lord, we just thank you and we love you. In your name we pray, amen. Have a great day and a wonderful rest of your prayer time.